if not the greatest challenge to Christians today in our world, is our Christian witness. When we start to think about our Christian witness, a lot of us start to get nervous, a little scared. Maybe we might start to point fingers and say, well, that's not my job, that's the pastor's job or the minister's job. When most of us think of a witness, we might think of someone in the courtroom who's brought up in front of the people there and places their hand on the Bible and asks if they'll tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help them in the name of God. And in reality, what they're doing, they're taking an oath that what they will say while they're on the stand is true. And then they proceed to tell their experience and what they know about their encounter with the person that's on trial. A witness is one who says, I know this is true. Not I think or I believe this is true. It's I know this is true. Witnesses give a personal account of their own experience. Webster's Dictionary defines witness as the evidence or testimony that might be given in a statement or declaration of fact. One of the greatest honors and responsibilities of a Christian is to be a witness for Jesus Christ. It's an honor and a responsibility that He's given to each one of us, each one of His followers. It was Christ's desire that His followers would be His witnesses. Many of the writers of the New Testament wrote as witnesses. When John wrote in 1 John, he wrote concerning the word of life, the word that we had seen, that we were with, the word that brings us eternal life. I believe in John's words. He says, the life appeared, we've seen it, we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. A testimony. As he testifies to the reality of Jesus Christ. We see in the witness of Luke, as Luke writes his gospel, concerning all the things that have been written about this Jesus. Many had undertaken to draw up an account of the things that were fulfilled and were handed down to us from the first eyewitnesses and servants of the Word. And I've investigated everything, and it seemed good to me also to write an orderly account, a testimony, a witness, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you've been taught. The certainty, the truth about Jesus Christ. William Barclay in his commentary reminds us that Acts is the story. Luke's writing of Acts is the story of the Christian church, and it's spread throughout the whole world. And that began, as Luke appropriately wrote in chapter 1, with the witness of believers. As Luke was a Gentile doctor, he wrote the gospel of Jesus Christ. He also wrote the book of Acts that we know as the book of Acts, writing to a friend, possibly a Roman official called Theophilus. It was Luke's testimonies about Jesus Christ and what he knew about Christ and the truth about Christ. And he says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions to the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. He was taken up into heaven. Luke's testimony. And in my former book, I wrote about all these things. That after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. In other words, Luke is saying, testifying, I know that he's alive, that he gave many convincing proofs, that he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, he was eating with them. He told them not to leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, which came at Pentecost. Luke was writing some 30 years, give or take, after Jesus had died, with his testimony, as he speaks about Jesus and the life of Jesus. He goes on to say that when the disciples met together with Jesus, they asked him, now this is after he had risen from the dead, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know, Jesus was saying to them, you need to quit worrying about the times and the dates when all this is going to happen, and just get out there and start giving your testimony and your witness to the world. Because you are my witnesses. You are testimonies of the realness and the reality and the truth of me in the world. You see, witness is not in knowing the details. A lot of people say, I can't witness. I just can't do it because I don't know my Bible well enough. I don't know all the facts. Witness is not in knowing the details. The witness is in knowing the deliverer, Jesus Christ. Our Christian witness is not about knowing God's mind. It's about knowing God's man, about having that personal relationship with someone that you can tell everybody else about. How wonderful he is, what he's done in your life, and how you trust in him every single day to provide all that you need for life. The witness is in the power of the resurrected Savior in a Christian's life. We say, this is what I know to be true. That he gave many convincing proofs, and that he still gives many convincing proofs in our lives today. You say he has not shown himself to me, you're not looking hard enough. He proves himself day in and day out. And when put on the stand, whenever and wherever that happens in our lives, no matter how popular our testimony is or isn't, we must state the facts of what we know and believe about Jesus Christ. I remember meeting a man one time who had real issues with God, with Christ. And he said, how can all that be true when my son, who was so young, drowned at such an early age? Why wasn't he rescued or saved? And you know, I was at a loss for words. How do you witness to somebody like that? And after spending several times meetings with this man, I finally said to him, because I realized that the witness wasn't going to be in any of my theological understanding or learning or facts. I simply said to him, I can't explain it to you, but all I can tell you is I know Jesus lives because he has done so much for me in my life. He has given me strength. He has given me peace. He's provided all that I need in all of those times when I don't understand why he's allowing them to happen. Just giving a witness and a testimony that I know he lives. And when put on the stand, we must state the facts of what we know personally and believe about Jesus Christ. A witness is not giving the right answer. You know those kids we have in Sunday school? We ask them a question and the right answer is Jesus. It's always Jesus. That's not the witness. Giving the right answer. Giving what the world wants to hear. Witnesses in an outpouring of one's experience concerning Christ. And yours are different than mine. You know people that I don't know. You have opportunities that I don't have. And each one of us is put out there into the world as witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the whole world to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And you know what's interesting is that word witness in the original Greek that Luke would have been writing in is martus. It's the same word that's used for martyr. Because you know something? When we put our lives out there as witnesses for Jesus Christ, we're sacrificing our very lives and our reputations and all that people think about us. We're making a statement as a martyr would, willing to give up our lives for Jesus Christ. Luke goes on to write, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight, ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you've seen him go into heaven." As he ascended into heaven right before their eyes, Luke's writing in his gospel tells us they returned to Jerusalem with great joy because in some way they knew that he would still be with them. And we know from experiences that he is with his followers still. We know he's present with us in the power of the Holy Spirit. We see him protect us. We see him save us. We see him provide for us every single day. We see him put food on our tables, clothes on our backs, roofs over our heads. We see all that he's done for our church here and all that he's provided for us here. We've seen the gifts that he's given us through the Holy Spirit, the strength to endure the trials and the troubles. Look around at the folks around you. Think of the things that we have been through together just in the time that I've been here. Look at the miracles sitting in this place this morning. We know that he is still present. And we go out and we say, here's what he's done for me. Peterson's notes in the paraphrase called The Message tell us that the story of Jesus does not end with Jesus, with his death and his resurrection. It continues in the lives of those who believe in him. The supernatural does not end with Jesus. Christ's followers were in on the action of God. Think about that, what God has entrusted to us. We are in on God's action in the world today through Christ living in us. That's our witness today of the glory of God and the joy of knowing Christ personally through the miracles, the blessings, the courage, the strength, the peace, and the hope. So what is our witness? What is our witness to the world? Well, Barclay says that Jesus Christ is not the only one who was, but he's the one who is. And his presence and his power are reflected in the lives of his true followers. Dr. Charles Weigel, who is probably known best for his song, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus," was once preaching at a Bible conference in Pasadena, California. He spent one afternoon of his leisure time visiting some of the famous rose gardens there in the city. And when he returned to the Bible conference later that day, a number of people came up to him and asked him how he enjoyed his leisure afternoon in the gardens. Well, he was mystified how they even knew where he was. So he asked them, "How did you know where I was?" And the response was, "You've brought the fragrance of the flowers with you." And so too can our lives bring the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ everywhere that we go. You say, all right, well, how can I witness? How can I witness? And this is not a complete list. And I want you to understand that this does not make you a Christian. This is not a jumping hoops thing that makes you a Christian. We become followers of Jesus Christ first, and because of the joy of knowing Christ and all that he's done for us, we want to go out and witness to the world, first of all, through unity as believers, through the way that we act toward other believers. People, the world is standing back watching us as Christians, as a church, to see how we act towards other believers, towards each other. If we're not in unity, if we're constantly bickering, if we're walking around with frowns on our faces because we're mad about something somebody said or something that they did, the world notices. And Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another, because by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." People will see Christians and say, "Wow, look at how they love one another and forgive one another." So through unity as believers. Secondly, orally. Through the spoken word. The way that we talk is a witness to the world. The words we use gives clarity to the world of who we are as Christians. You know, there's a saying that We should live our lives in the best way that we can, because our lives might be the only Bible that someone may ever read. You can live your whole life and your next door neighbor never know that you're a Christian if you have that kind of an attitude. We have to speak it. We have to use the words, Jesus Christ. Jesus has done this for me. Jesus has blessed me. My hope is in Jesus. I don't know where my next income's coming from, but I know Jesus is in control of my life. It makes it clear to people who we are and who we're trusting in and who has blessed us thus far. So through unity as believers, orally through the spoken word, thirdly, physically, in the way we live our own lives, the walk, we call it. It's easy to talk the talk. It's easy to say the words. But you better be living up to your own words. And I want to tell you, this is the greatest challenge as a preacher, to live up to your own words. The way we live our lives and our walk, out in public, around our homes, at our workplaces, in our schools, everywhere that we are every single day. I am amazed at how thankful people are for their meals on the table when they all sit down in their homes and gather around the table. I'm amazed at how thankful they are, but yet for something changes when they walk into the Golden Arches and they sit at the table. They don't seem to be so thankful sitting there with that food, to the point they don't even thank God for it publicly. What a witness it is when we go out in public. People are watching us. They see us walk into that building on Sunday morning. They see us sitting in that restaurant Sunday afternoon. Are we the same person then as we were that morning? Fourthly, how can we witness? We can witness textually through the written word. The Bible is a composition of written testimonies, letters to others, the testimonies about God and His saving grace in Jesus Christ. How long has it been since you sent one a note or a card encouraging them? Just a handwritten, I'm praying for you today. Or maybe through a text message. Some of the greatest text messages I've ever received have been encouragement from other pastors that I know. Sunday morning before church encouraging me. Or through email, encouraging someone, writing about, giving a testimony of what God has done for you. And saying, I know what you're going through, and I've gone through the same, but I know I can tell you that if you just trust, the Lord will provide for you. And how about the almighty Facebook? How many of you on Facebook, if I went on your Facebook page, that I could tell you were a Christian? How many of you mention the word Jesus on your Facebook account or in all of your posts on Facebook? That the world knows without a doubt that on your Facebook account, you're a Christian. What are you afraid of? That you're going to get a lot of hate letters? A lot of bad responses back? We're martyrs for Jesus Christ. We're witnesses. And lastly, we witness benevolently. Doing good for others. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In Matthew 7, he said, the golden rule, do to others what you would have them do to you. Benevolence is showing kindness or goodwill, performing good or charitable acts, not seeking repayment or profit. Oh, there's the catch. We're going to do something good. Don't expect anything from it. It's a pouring out. A pouring out of benevolence and love toward others. We witness through unity as believers. We witness orally through the spoken word. We witness physically in the way we live our lives. We witness textually through the written word. And we witness benevolently, doing good for the others. And in these ways, we're living and sharing the truth about Jesus so that others might believe and have eternal life and go free from this life of sin. In these ways, we're giving a living testimony of who Jesus is. We become little Christs to the world as a testimony of who He is. Webster's Dictionary defines a Christian as not just believing in Jesus and His teachings, but having the qualities taught by Jesus, the qualities of love and kindness and humility. I thought that was pretty neat for a secular dictionary. Not just believing, but having the qualities in here of Jesus. Christianity is the state of being a Christian, and a Christian is of Jesus. So Christianity is the state of being Jesus. We are Jesus to the world. And it's absolutely necessary that we as Christians give our testimonies to the world of who Jesus is, what He's done for us. Our motivation is thanksgiving because He first loved us. Our commission, as Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 28, to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all Jesus has commanded. And our power is the Holy Spirit. Our motivation is thanksgiving. Our commission is Jesus' words to us as He commands us. And our power is the Holy Spirit. We do this in the way that we act toward believers and unbelievers. We do it in the way that we walk and talk. We do it in the way that we live and give. Now the question to you this morning, will you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? As a Christian, you're writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by deeds that you do, by words that you say. People read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Let's pray. God our Father, give us strength and courage to be Christ to the world. Unafraid to share our faith. Unafraid to proclaim that we are followers of Jesus. That we are believers. That we live out our beliefs and our faith. That we do it through unity. We do it orally. We do it physically. We do it textually. And we do it benevolently. And in these ways, the world might come to know Jesus, the Savior of the world. In Christ's name, amen. As we turn to 163, let us stand together and sing.